Hi there. I'm Mark Swallow, and I'm glad you are joining me for today's God Is podcast. Let's get started learning who God is. Thank you for joining me today from wherever you are and by however you listen, as we meet together coast to coast here in the United States and all the way around the world. As we end the week together, we will also end our discussion of this eighth verse of Genesis chapter 3. In this verse, we see the dramatic and tragic results of the sin of Adam and Eve. Genesis 3 verse 8 says, "They heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and the man and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden." And as we look at the last part of the passage, "And the man and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden," I want to begin by reminding you of what Satan, via the serpent, had originally promised to Eve. Do you remember Satan's promise? I'm going up the page in my Bible to find it here at Genesis 3, verses 4 and 5. Listen as I read Genesis 3, 4 and 5. "The serpent said to the woman, 'You surely will not die. For God knows that in the day you eat from it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil.'" That was the lie. That was the false promise. But that is what is believed by Eve and then Adam. But then we come down to verse 8, and we have to ask, what happened to Satan's promise? "And the man and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God." Listen to what pastor and author of Studies in the Book of Genesis, Robert C. Harbash, says, quote, "They hid themselves? Why? What of the devil's promise that they would be safe? Now they think themselves anything but. What of you surely will not die? Now they run for their lives. Promised advancement, they get abasement. How small they feel now. Be as gods, they're prisoners frantic to escape." Well, that was well written, well said. What a great difference there is between what Satan promised and the condition in which Eve and Adam find themselves, now on the run from God. They are not like God. They do not even want to be near God. Instead of rushing towards God, Adam and Eve rush away from him, and they try to take cover among the trees. They have already begun their cover-up by sowing fig leaves and placing those around their loins. We saw that in verse 7. And now they try to use the shade of the trees as further cover. Calvin calls this a denser shade. A denser shade. Well, they can run, but they cannot hide. God knows exactly where they are and why they are there. This reminds me so much of Psalm 139. I'll just read verses 1 through 7, although the whole psalm is worth your exploration this weekend. Psalm 139, verses 1 through 7. "O Lord, you have searched me and know me. You know when I sit down and when I rise up. You understand my thought from afar. You scrutinize my path and my lying down, and are intimately acquainted with all my ways. Even before there is a word on my tongue, behold, O Lord, you know it all. You have enclosed me behind and before, and laid your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is too high. I cannot attain it. Where can I go from your spirit? Or where can I flee from your presence?" That was Psalm 139, and it tells the truth. We can never escape from the presence of Almighty God. And that is exactly what the first people learn. God is omnipresent. He is all present. None of us can ever escape God. I favored the way Edward J. Young put this in his slim book on Genesis 3. I'm quoting him now. "Man was to have been the protector of the garden. Now he desires the garden to protect him." How often trees have been used in this narrative. They constantly rise to confront us. It is as if the sinner was trying to forget his sin, but could not do so. At every step, he encounters obstacles which remind him of the transgression which he has committed. Wherever he may go, he is in God's territory. This is God's world, and in it there is no escape from God's presence. End quote. Yes, these garden trees. The sin was to eat from one of them in the middle of the garden, and now the sinners tried to hide amidst the other trees, which are scattered throughout this same garden. And we may be tempted to pick up on Adam and Eve now and sort of pick on them. But how could we be too harsh with them when we are just like them? Isn't it true that the guilt and shame we feel from our sin also compels us to go into hiding? We hide from God. Again, grasp in the forefront of your mind your own sin. Admit it, you are also a sinner. I admit, I am. Sin, that is what we do that displeases God, and/or what we have left undone that we should have done. When we know that we are doing wrong, we are quick to hide it, rather than bring it out into the open before holy God. And while we may be able to hide our sinful selves from others, we can never find a hiding place so secure that God cannot be right in there with us. In the adult version of the kids' game, Hide and Go Seek, all our favorite hideouts already have God standing there waiting. Our sin will find us out. So while we may be able to employ the internet, the mobile phone, an app to hide what we are really up to, when we think we have privacy, we have really only fooled ourselves and our fellow persons. God is not fooled. He is walking among us as well. Another Bible commentator I love to read, Derek Kidner, tipped me off to the juxtaposition between people who hide from the presence of God and people who embrace the presence of God, all the way over in the final book of the Bible, the Revelation of Jesus Christ. I want to share this with you because I hope this will encourage those of you who are Christians and will convict those of you who are not to quickly become a Christian. If you have your Bible with you, please open it. Put one finger at chapter 6 and the other at chapter 22. Revelation 6 and 22. In Revelation 6, the Bible is describing the judgment of God upon the earth during the Great Tribulation. And listen to how some of what the world considers to be very important people, real VIPs, as well as some slaves, will react to the wrath, the justified judgment of God upon them for their sins. These will be people who have rejected Jesus Christ as their Savior from sin. They have no love for Christ. I'm reading these amazing words in Revelation 6, verses 15 and 16. This is Revelation 6, 15 and 16. Then the kings of the earth and the great men and the commanders and the rich and the strong and every slave and free man hid themselves in the caves and among the rocks of the mountains. And they said to the mountains and to the rocks, "Fall on us and hide us from the presence of him who sits on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb." Wow, the judgment of God is this severe, and still these people do not want to embrace Christ as their only hope. So they lose their minds and start begging mountains and rocks to fall on them to hide them from the presence of Jesus Christ, who is the Lamb, capital L, sitting on his heavenly throne. They are similar to Adam and Eve. Notice, they hide from God's presence. In Genesis 3, the word presence actually means the face of God. And here these sinners plead with mountains and rocks to hide them from the face of God in God's wrath. If you listen as someone who has also, thus far, rejected Jesus Christ, I pray you will find this very convicting. Do not be fooled. Just because you have yet to experience God's wrath against you for your unforgiven sin, God will, in His good time, judge you. I share that with you as a warning given in love because the Bible says it. I urge you not to get to the place where you beg rocks to fall on you to hide from the wrath of God through Jesus. Please, be aware and instead of running from God, run towards God and quickly embrace Jesus as the only one who can save you from this. Revelation chapter 6. As a sharp contrast, turn ahead to Revelation 22. This is the last chapter of the Bible, and it describes heaven. This is an awesome, awesome chapter, and that is an understatement. If you do believe in Jesus Christ, friends, this is what awaits you and me. And listen as I read Revelation 22, verses 3 and 4. We end the week in Revelation 22, 3 and 4. There will no longer be any curse, and the throne of God and of the Lamb will be in it, and His bond servants will serve Him. They will see His face, and His name will be on their foreheads. So much can be said, but let's focus on this. They will see His face. Christian people will see the face of God. We will see the face of God. We will be in His presence forever and ever. Let us not be like Adam and Eve who hid themselves from the presence of God. Let us expose ourselves to Jesus Christ, invite Him to forgive us our sins, so that we will see the face of the living God. God sees you. God knows you. Do not run from Him. Run to Him. And join us again on Monday for God Is.
Thank you for listening to this God Is podcast. Drop me an email and tell me what you think. mark@godisministry.org. That's mark@godisministry.org. Please do share this with others and be sure and join me for the next one.